We had a great night last night. The church was alive and well, amen. More people last night than we've ever had for one service. Over 100 people were here last night just celebrate our Christmas concert and share the joy and share the love. Amen. Give God praise and glory for that this morning. Today's our coffee social. It's something we started about a year ago where we thought maybe we'd have coffee and some donuts, and what it was for our congregation to actually become family. We go downstairs and everybody talk together and get to know one another, and it's turned into a lunch that just lasts for hours, and there's more food downstairs than we know what to do with sometimes, and it's a wonderful blessing and a wonderful thing. Amen? So God, just you give God something and He blesses you back and gives you so much more. How many know that? Y'all know that, amen? And this church, we're going to preach the word and we're going to make you just want to know God better, because it's between you and Him. Everything you do every single day is with you and God. And if you just look at it that way, any kind of a disappointment or any kind of a setback that you might think you feel, maybe God just holding you back for something, or maybe God working you through something. And if you just trust Him with everything, then you won't get the anxiety and you won't get the worry, amen? Because we know that worry and anxiety causes depression. And I tell you that because it says so in Proverbs. Anxiety causes depression. Worry and fear cause depression. Rogers. Praise God. We love our family in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together this morning. First, Lord, we just want to give you thanks for last night. Thanks for the folks that came. Thanks that everything went well. The lights stayed on and the music stayed on. And it just a wonderful thing in this church, your church, Lord. We thank you for those in attendance this morning. We know that some of those folks last night just woke up a little tired this morning. And that's okay, Lord. Give them that rest and peace that you can give them, Lord, in the way that you do so beautifully. We thank you for this day. I pray that the words we speak today will fill their hearts with peace and fill their hearts with joy, and fill their hearts and minds with wanting to know more about you. And they just have the joy in this church and the peace, Lord. We just love you, love you, love you. And we thank you for all you've done in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're going to do in our lives as long as we focus on you. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Can we get an amen? You can't make me doubt Him. I'll tell you, if you get to that point, amen, hallelujah. Whew. How it changes everything in your life. Lord, thank you. We sing these songs in the morning. We sing praise and worship in the morning. Some of the best reasons are just get you forgetting the outside. Amen. We know all the things you read and all the things you see and all the problems of the world. But when you come into God's house and you just sing some praise, it's like a cleansing. It just takes your mind off that and just puts your mind on God and gets you ready. Even if you're not singing or you're not clapping, you're just listening and you're letting God just kind of, you know, take over your thoughts so that you're ready to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this. We did this last night, and I want to do it one more time. 73 years ago this morning, Pearl Harbor was bombed. And we all know what followed after that. The country rose again. Though it looked the darkest, they focused on God. They prayed. We got together. The country stood strong again. That's God carrying us through. Amen. We've seen God bless America. We're asking Him to do something very special for this country. 73 years ago, we needed God. You notice when very terrible things happen, really bad tragedies happen, the first thing they do is fill churches and start praying. And as the days go by and the weeks go by, they start leaving the church and forgetting about the prayers. Amen. But we can't forget, because God is in control. With the Lord. Amen. Joanne, if you'd bring us into church on this beautiful Sunday in December. Good to see you. Thank you for coming to. Hope you enjoy. We got some new friends here today. Let's give them praise and glory for showing viewers. Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy yourself. Just relax. We enjoy God in our church, so we hope you enjoy. You were at the concert last night. Did you enjoy the concert? It was awesome. We loved it. Thank you so much. How many want to receive something from God today? How many want to receive from God today? You all didn't put your hands up. You all got stuff, everything you all wanted already? I want to put you in a place where you can receive from God. And you say, well, who are you? I say, I'm a man who reads the Bible. Amen? Can I get an amen? Now, how many want to receive something from God today? Forgive. Oh, Pastor, I'm telling you. Before we read this, forgive those who trespassed against you. Forgive those who stole from you. Forgive those who took from you. Forgive the injustice. Forgive the injustice, and you walk out of here today with a heart and mind free from the burden of worrying about when and if anybody was going to pay you back, or anybody, when you're going to get even with somebody, or you're going to sue somebody. Forgive the injustice. Forgive the name calling. If somebody said something to you the other day to hurt your feelings, forgive them. Forgive. For what does the Bible say about giving? When you give, what happens? It is given back. So this is a chance for you today, on this Sunday, December the 7th, to receive something from God as you leave this church, as you forgive somebody or something, whatever it is, you forgive them and you open your heart up and your spirit up to receive from who? Not from me. I'm not going to give you anything. I'm going to give you His Word. Today, if you forgive, you give yourself a chance to receive a blessing from God. You have to remove what it is so He can fill it. Amen? You remove whatever's burdening you, and He will fill it for you. He will give back. It's almost like, and this is just crazy to think about, it's almost like you put God in a position where He must act. Amen? Because this Word doesn't lie. The living Word doesn't lie. This is the truth. Amen? Men lie. The Bible doesn't lie. And it says if you give, it is given back. So today, forgive. Forgive and watch. And you'll come back with testimonies. I know you will, because I know you can't make me doubt my God. Amen? Now let's stand up and pray together. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give strength to his people. You know him, the more you know him, the stronger you become. The more you know him, the more peace you have. Amen? No matter what comes before you. Testimony today. Many years ago, I rented a room from a man who was an alcoholic, a terrible alcoholic. He had a tough life. The service that he was in the service, he saw things and just could never stop drinking, lost his wife, lost his family, and he started to get him back as he started to follow God, but the alcohol consumed him. And there was two or three times when I was living there that I came home and the ambulance was there taking him to the hospital because he was drunk, and he drunk himself into a stupor. Well, it finally came my time. One day I came home and he was laying on his bedroom floor, delirious. So I called the ambulance. And it seemed like they took forever to get there. I was a little upset. I mean, they just took their time. And when they came in, they walked in. And I said to one of them, I was a little discouraged about it. Amen? I would say, what's the story? And he said, listen, we come here 6 or 7 times a year for this guy. I said, they didn't have time for him anymore. Amen? They wanted to do good. It was their job to come. But they felt like they could save other people who wanted to be saved. They could help other people, and he almost felt like it was a waste of their time to come back there to bring him to the hospital only for him to come home, amen, to be called again. And that's what I witnessed. And I guess I could have been upset at the fact that they took their time, but then I heard the whole story. Amen? I heard the whole story, and I began to understand that my anger was at first with that, but then I didn't understand everything. I didn't see everything. Amen? And that mess with life today in the world. We have opinions about what's going on outside. I know you see it. I know you all see it. You all read about it. And opinions are fine. But if you don't know the whole story, you don't know the beginning of the story, amen, to get angry at the end of the story is putting yourself in a very uncomfortable place, an angry place. And let me just tell you, anger and violence accomplishes nothing. Amen? And as your pastor, and you're the flock, you're the children, I want you to rise above the anger every day. Every Sunday, I tell you, we need to rise above the anger. I'm not saying that you don't have an opinion and you don't have feelings, but I would beg you to not take sides. If you're going to take a side, take his side. Amen? Because he knows the complete story. He knows the beginning of the story. We look at the end, the one thing that happened at the end, and we assume we knew everything that brought it to that. We don't. Amen? We don't know the story. I didn't know the story when I was angry at those ambulance people coming to the house. I said, why are you taking so long? And when they told me, I begin to understand that there's more to what we see. Amen? And I just want to tell you that all the anger that you're seeing, all the violence that you're seeing is not going to accomplish whatever it is they want to accomplish. Amen. Whatever is right or wrong, whatever you believe is right or wrong, it's you. And to say what you feel is one thing, but when you turn it to anger and when you stir people up to violence and vengeance, you're out of the will of this God. Amen. Because Jesus said, and the Bible says, vengeance is mine. Amen. And we're going to talk today about somebody who had every right to be mad at every turn of his life. We're going to go right back to Genesis, and you're going to see, even 2,000 years ago, how this living word matters today, how it could change your life today, even though I'm going to go read in Genesis later, how that pertains to 2014, 2015. Are you with me? I just tell you to just give it to him. Give the injustice to God. Let God take care of the situation. But anger will not solve the situation. Are you with me? In the church, anger can cause dissension and division. Amen? We all have our opinions, and that's okay. But you have to understand that you can't let it get to an argument. You can't let it get to violence, because all that does is like a cancer. It's going to destroy the whole. Amen? And then here's what happens. People stop listening. People stop, and then when an injustice happens, people don't want to hear it because they're tired. Amen? We want to rise above that. Amen? God sees the injustice. God sees the problem. We trust in God. We don't walk with anger. We trust in God. We don't walk with violence. We don't walk with that. We walk with Jesus. How many times have you been put on a cross and crucified? Never. How many times have you been whipped? How many times have you gone through what he went through? The rejection. The Son of God. And he just kept walking forward. Did he show anger? No. Did he show violence? No. He just said, who accepts me. I came to save the lost. Amen? As brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to rise above the anger. And when somebody's angry, I want you to pull it down. Pull it down with love. Pull it down with Jesus. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Because we don't know the whole story. There's reasons for what happened, and whatever you feel it's what you feel, but there's reasons we don't know, but God knows. Amen. And we need to give it to God each Sunday. I if I stood here and got you all riled up with anger, I would be out of the will of the Lord. Amen. I want you to have peace today. I want you to have joy today, because that peace and joy heals your body. How many know that? Peace and joy heal your body. When you feel peace in your body, begins to heal. It's a miracle. Your body's a miracle from top to bottom. Let go of that. Let go of that and give it to God. And when you see it, pray about it. Say, pray for these people to find peace. And then things can happen. Good things can happen. Amen? When good people get together and talk, good things happen. And we should be keeping each other calm in a time like this. Amen? Give him praise and glory, because he is the keeper. He is the keeper. Father God, we thank you We thank you, Lord. We rely on you because you see. You know all. You've been everywhere that we weren't. You are there. You know the story in our life. You know where we've been. You know our shortcomings. You know where we've needed to be forgiven. Every day we fall short. The Bible says, condemn not or you'll be condemned. It says, judge not or you'll be judged. Let us be sure that we're focused on you. Let us not judge and condemn. Let us help. Our call is to heal. We are healers in this world. Healers in this world. Healers. That's who we are. We're not angry people. We're not violent people. We're healers. You know who we are, so we don't have to explain to you our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions. But we just need you to keep us safe. Keep us safe. Keep us stronger in you. Not just for us, but for our children. Respect. Responsibility. And the Bible tells us to love one another. Respect is earned. It isn't given. Responsibility is ours to teach our children. Teach our children to listen, to love, to not get angry. Lord, we go to the doctor for so many ailments. And the Bible says that the peace that he brings will heal a lot of these ailments. They'll heal us so that when we face them stronger, so the healing has already begun. Oh Lord, you're so beautiful. You're just so loving. And to know you that way, as we read about Joseph today, to know you that way, when everything just seems impossible, you make it possible. When things seem so dark, you bring the light. That's where we need to focus, Lord, on you. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. Thank you for the peace that you give us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the folks, others can see our spirit. They can see our joy. They can see our love. They can see it in us when we walk with you. Jesus, we love you in this church. We love you for the way you take care of us, the way you guide us, the way you teach us. Our children, our grandchildren, our families, Lord, our friends, we want them to have this peace. We can only show them. Telling people just sometimes they don't hear, but we can show them. Show them. Show them. Jesus in our life. Peace in our life. Show them love in our life, in this church. In Jesus' name I pray. In this church. I'm just a man. I fail every day, amen? Bible tells me I do. I know I do. It's so strong in my heart, but I want to share with you with things like that. So you just bear with me, okay? And I pray that you receive. But if you receive God by my words, if you receive peace by my words, then I know that we're on the right path together, amen? But just know it's all about God. Hallelujah. Joseph, not that Joseph. talk about injustice. You talk about things in life. You talk about following God. You talk about situations that we would say are impossible. But he walked with the Lord. Amen. He kept God in his heart. He kept God in his spirit. No matter what came against him, he walked with the Lord. And as we read this, and this is a pastor taking a big step here. This is a two-part sermon. And God's got to come back next week for the end. This is great. How many are going to go see the movie Exodus? The Exodus coming out. They got a brand new movie coming out. That is the end of the story. Amen. Do you ever wonder, has anybody, and if you know the Word of God, you know, but ever wonder, how did the Hebrews get these slaves of the Egyptians? Yeah, the story starts with Moses, but it doesn't start with Moses. Amen. It goes back about 350 years before that to a man named Joseph, a Hebrew boy. Amen. A Hebrew boy. Joseph was 17 years old, and he had 11 brothers and a sister, and he didn't get along with some of them. Anybody not get along with your relatives and your friends? Okay, well, good. That's good. Well, one of the reasons why, he was a little conceited. Joseph was just, the brothers started envying him because he was, you could see he was special. You could see that the difference, and you could also see that his father loved him more than others, all the others. And they could see that. His father Jacob had a wife named Rachel, who was his favorite wife. And you got to read why he had more than one, but it was his favorite wife. It said in the Bible that was his favorite. And they had two sons, and he was his favorite. Joseph was his favorite. And he had a coat of many colors. Have you ever heard that story? We sang that song last night, Dolly Parton wrote a coat of many colors. Well, this is true. He had a tunic of many colors. You say, what does that mean? Well, normally tunics were just brown. They were dull. They were just a cover. But his had colors, multicolors. They were long sleeve, and it was a long robe. It actually had a robe that looked like royalty. Amen? It looked like priesthood. It looked like somebody special. You could see just by seeing his robe that his father loved him more than the others, that he was special in his father's eyes, and his brothers envied that. Anybody ever get jealous like that? He envied that. Joseph would brag to his brothers. And let's read about what he said. I'm going back to Genesis 37. Frank's here today, and he reads the Bible. Hallelujah. Now it says, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have. He's all excited. He's got this dream, and he sees this dream, and he said that there were binding sheaves in the field, sheaves of wheat, and behold, my sheaves arose and also stood upright, and indeed, your sheaves, my brother, stood all around and bowed down to me. They said, what are you? And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? See, the brother saw him, and he's telling him, I'm going to be greater than you. He was conceited as a young boy. He was a bragger as a young boy. He was right, but he did. And they hated him even more. Then he dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Brothers were off feeding the flocks. Joseph was a shepherd. Amen. And the brothers were out feeding the flocks, and his father said, go see how things are with your brothers. So he went with his coat of, and they saw him coming. His brothers saw him coming from afar, and they call him, according to the Blake, here comes the dreamer. And he's going to come and see. And they plotted. His brothers plotted to kill him. Amen. Reuben may have, his oldest brother, we'll read later, had a little different thought, but they plotted to kill him. They said that they couldn't stand him anymore, and they were going to dig a pit. So they dug a pit, and they were going to take all his clothes off and throw him in a pit where there's no water, and then he would die, and then they would say to his father that some animal must have got him and devoured him and ate him. So they devised that plan as he came, and they threw him in the pit. Amen? his oldest brother Reuben come over and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And they told him, and he said, "Well, let's not kill him. Let's just leave him there so that the blood's not on our hands." And they said, "Okay." Reuben did that, and read in the Bible, Reuben, his oldest brother, did that because he was going to come back later and take him out of the pit and bring him home. He was going to save him. Amen. But in the meantime, these merchants were traveling by. They didn't have airplanes back then and SUVs. They came in wagons and horses and camels, and they saw them coming, and they said, "Hey, let's sell our brother to the merchants. We'll sell them, we'll get some gold and silver, and they'll take them away, and then what we'll do is we'll kill a goat and we'll spread blood on his tunic, and we'll bring back to our father and say that some animal killed our brother." So they did that. They sold him. They sold their brother. How many injustices have you heard already? Amen? They sold their brother Joseph to these traveling merchants. And guess where they took him? You guys are good. They took him to Egypt. They brought him there and they sold him. Is God in control? Who buys him? Potiphar. The king priest. I'll tell you exactly who it is because I want you to have everything right here today. I love this story. Hallelujah. An officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Potiphar buys him. Now where is he? And who has him? Now he's a slave. Another injustice? What would you do? Scream and holler? Get angry? Amen? Throw rocks at buildings? What would you do? Would you get angry? What? You'd be upset, right? He wasn't upset. Amen? You know why? Who was with him? God was with him. He's already... Now his brothers tried to kill him. They sold him into slavery. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Say that with me. The Lord was with Joseph. Is the Lord with you? Hallelujah. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master, a non-Christian, a non-believer, amen, saw that the Lord was with him because of his what? His attitude, the way he talked, the way he treated the people, amen, his peace, amen, his manner, his respect, amen, are you with me? The Egyptian saw that. He saw him, and he saw this. He was successful, and he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then the Egyptian leader said, made him a overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he made him an overseer of Joseph, for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord fell on the Egyptian house also. Are you with me? He sold him to this man's now got him. To see who? Egyptian? And he finds favor with this guy. Why? Because God sees. The Egyptian sees God in Joseph. Are you with me? He sees this man being strong and being just nothing can make him waver. You can't make me doubt him. Say that with me. You can't make me doubt him. Hallelujah. That was Joseph. And notice God here. I told somebody the other night, God opens doors for you when you walk with him, amen, that no man can open for you, amen. He opened doors for you, and you'll find favor with the people you never expected to find favor with. Are you with me? This book, 2,000 years ago, is telling us something today in 2014. So he finds favor. And what happens in the Egyptian's house? Receives what? Blessings. Because Joseph's in his house following the Lord. He gives him, the Egyptian gives him authority over us. Who would do that? Except that God was with Joseph. Amen? Where are we? We're in Egypt. Now he has control of the whole house. He has control of the men. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I guess everything's good for Joseph now. Thank you. Potiphar's wife kind of likes him. See, the Bible tells us that Joseph was handsome, Miss Pat. Tall, handsome, strong. And you know when somebody is handsome like that and they're strong like that and they got God in their heart and their spirit, those are the kind of people you want to spend time with. Amen? I've talked about that before. You look around at the people you want to be with. Why do you want to be with them? Because they're joyful. Amen? Because they're confident. Amen? Because they don't take from you. Amen? Because they give to you. Amen? They lift you up. You want to be around people who lift you up. She saw him. She said, come here. She wanted him to lay with her. Joseph said, no way. So why would I do that? Your husband has given me everything in his house. Authority over the men. Authority to take care of his whole house. Why would I turn and take his wife? Amen? Well, she catches Joseph alone. And she walks up and she demands that he take her. And he refuses again, but this time she grabs him by his tunic, his coat of, and she pulls it off him and he runs out of the house naked. The Pharaoh comes back and she says, look, that Hebrew man that you have, that Hebrew man came here and he mocked us. He mocked me. He tried to come to me, but when I screamed, he dropped his tunic and I have it and he ran out of the house. What did she do? She lied on him, didn't she? Potiphar was angry. Wouldn't you be angry? What did he do? He puts him in prison. Injustice? Now, is that the end of Joseph's story? No. Joseph goes to prison. How many walk with the Lord? Come on. Hallelujah. So it came to pass that the master's words we spoke. Hallelujah. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me this manner, that the anger was aroused. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Whose prisoners? And there he was in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison. Give him praise. Come on, this is our God. And the keepers of the prison, listen to what the keepers of the prison, who were they?
Kings.
Who were they? Egyptians? The prisoner committed Joseph's hand to all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Hallelujah. Joseph, where is he? Egypt. He's in prison, and what's happening? He's finding what? Favor. Why? Because he's walking with who? Have you ever had injustice in your life? Could you walk like this? Could you just walk away from the injustice saying, that's not fair? There's nothing in here where Joseph said, this is not fair. He knew it wasn't fair, but he was going to stay with the Lord. Amen? When God saves you from one thing, sometimes you get a little more faith. When he saves you from another thing, you get a little more faith. Miss Judy, when he answers another prayer, you get a little more faith. But when he answers a prayer that is a prayer that is a prayer that you know that was a prayer answered, amen, there's no way you're ever going to waver again. Are you with me? There's no way that you're ever going to doubt what God is doing in your life today. Amen? That's where Joseph was. I just pray that we can all get there. So it came to pass, he's in prison now, but he's got favor with the guards. It came to pass that these things, that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended the Lord, the king of Egypt, the king now. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody and he put them into prison. And he was with who? Joseph, who served them. Hallelujah. Then they had a dream. Joseph was able to interpret dreams. Amen? What a gift. Then the butler and the baker of Egypt were confined to prison. And they said, we each had a dream, Joseph, and there's no interpreter for it. So Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Oh, has he started to find humble? Amen? Did you hear what it said? Do not interpretations belong to God? You see this young boy who was, you know, just was conceited and just sure of himself, all of a sudden now he's saying, who does it belong to? I believe he's starting to humble himself. Amen. So he's saying, I can answer, but they don't belong to me. They belong to who? Then the chief butler told the dream to Joseph. And he said, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and the vine were three branches. It was as though it was budded. It blossomed, shot forth, and in clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. That was his job before he was the butler. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. And then he says this to the butler. Listen to this. He says, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to the Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in this dungeon. Is he complaining? No, I don't believe he's complaining. I believe he's just saying the truth. He said, look, when you are restored to the king, please remember me, because I really didn't have any reason to be here. He was just telling him, amen? Now when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. And there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. And he said, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Oops. Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. Happy birthday, Pharaoh. Then he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler, did not remember Joseph. He didn't remember to tell the Pharaoh, amen? He forgot. Another injustice? 2 years. 2 years. He's in prison. Nobody remembers him. God's got in control. 2 years, and then the Pharaoh has a dream. Hallelujah. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blightly by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called to all the magicians of Egypt. Of who? Of Egypt. And all the wise men of Egypt. Of whom? And Pharaoh told them their dreams. And this isn't surprising. There was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Amen? Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with me, his servants, he put me in custody of the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dream for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored me to the office, and he hanged him. The Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Now the Pharaoh called him now, amen? Not Potiphar, but the Pharaoh. Who's the Pharaoh? He's the king, amen? The king of who? Egypt.
Egypt. Then the Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved and changed his clothes and came to the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Joseph answered the Pharaoh, saying, listen to this. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. How humble is that? Amen. He said, it is not in me. God will give the Pharaoh an answer of peace. This man, this boy who had his entire family mad at him from his father on down, has now become humble to the point where he just gives God praise and glory. Amen. Like I ask you to do in this church over and over, give him praise and glory, because that's what it's all about. Amen. That's where your healing comes from. He said, it is not me, but God. The interpretation. There are going to be 7 years of plenty in Egypt. 7 years of wonderful harvest, of plenty. Everybody will have. And the next 7 years will be a famine like nobody has ever seen all over the world, it says in the Bible. 7 years of good and 7 years of bad. He told him that, and he said, Pharaoh, do not worry, for if you just allow me, I will help you with this. And listen, he said, the dreams of the Pharaoh are one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select, and he's not even saying, listen to what he said, therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and send him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And then he said, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of the Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of the Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. And I got that highlighted. Pharaoh doesn't know God. Amen. You know God. Pharaoh has no idea who this God is, but he knows that that God is working. Amen. He sees the Spirit of God on who? Joseph, a Hebrew boy. And who is the king of Egypt? Hallelujah. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, insomuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as who? Listen to what the king of Egypt tells Joseph. Insomuch as God has shown you this, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Where? Egypt. And now, in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up on the food into the cities. And he laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Then Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. You can gather how much food that was. Immeasurable. Amen. And to Joseph, he had 2 sons. Hallelujah. Before the year of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, he was a priest, he was given a wife. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. And that means, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Go to who? Hebrew boy, an Egyptian king saying, go to the Hebrew boy, and whatever he says you to do, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. How many countries? All the countries. Thrown in a pit by his brothers, injustice. Sold to merchants going to Egypt. Sold into slavery, amen? Put back in prison because of a lie. I could see there's room for a lot of anger there, amen? Did he show any? No. He showed God. They saw the Spirit of God in him, amen? The Spirit of God. Every church in this country today should be talking about peace, should be talking about God, should be talking about love, should be coming together, amen? Rising above with God to face the injustices, amen? Not to discard them, not to ignore them, but to face them as spiritual, amen? Face them with God. With who? Face them with God, not with anger, amen? Not with destruction, but with God, with peace, with coming together, amen? This man, Joseph, 2,000 years ago, not that Joseph. I tell you week after week that when you walk with the Lord, you find favor in places you don't expect. You find favor. You find things. He's with you. He's with you. Every minute, he's with you. Whatever you need, he already knows your needs. Surprise? There's nothing you have said or done that he hasn't been there with you. Amen? Can I get an amen? There's not one word that you spoke this week that God wasn't standing right there next to you going, okay, I forgive you. Because that's our God. But the more you walk with him, and the more you see this Joseph, this is you. This Joseph is you. This Joseph is you, Jim. The injustices, the things. God is saying, but I'm with you. Why are you worried about this minute when I'm taking care of everything, amen? Why are you seeing something in right now in the natural when I'm telling you in the spiritual it will be for the better if you just trust God? This is the first part. The second part is another part where you want revenge. The second part will begin next Sunday, I pray. And this is a stretch for a pastor to do this. But I want you all to be interested and excited as we go to the next part. Because there's famine in how much of the land? Which means that Joseph's family has famine where they are. Amen? No food. Which means they have to come to who? Joseph. The one they wanted to kill, the one that they despised, is now the leader of what country? Where does the Exodus start from? Egypt. This is still part of the story. Before you go see the movie, you want to come next Sunday, as Paul Harvey would say, to hear the rest of the story, because it's quite fascinating. And they say, in my readings and all my studies and all the different books I've read about from chapter 42 on, some of the most beautiful love and forgiveness that you'll ever read in this Bible, as he sees his brothers face to face again. Some people would want revenge, not Joseph. When God gives a reward to you, it is better than any reward you can ever get yourself. Amen. When you forgive, and God blesses you back, it is better than any reward you could have gotten fighting for what you thought you wanted. Amen. That's our Father. Give him praise and glory. My notes. It's a stretch for a pastor to do this, and I'm just praying that you'll all come back and enjoy the most beautiful part of the story. Hallelujah. The peace of God in your spirit does more to help every situation you ever face than one bit of anger that you carry. The peace of God surpassing all understanding. Joseph had that peace of God. Sold into bondage by his brothers. and made king over Egypt by the Pharaoh. Only a God can do that. Blessed and broken, told his disciples, "This is my body being torn for you." They had no idea what he was talking about. We do. He said to do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Into a cup. Jesus, our Savior, said to the disciples, "This is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins, according to the book of Matthew." He said to drink and do this in remembrance of him. We shall. We've seen many miracles in this church in this short year. We see the growth of this church in this short year. We see the joy and the peace of the people coming to this church more and more. The family of Christ, God said, "I'll give you a new family to lift you, to keep you, to keep you, to keep you safe." Never seen so much love and felt so much love from people who weren't my blood family, but my Christ family. Just amazing. My wife and I talk often how in awe we are of the love that we receive and the kindness and the words. Only God can do something like that, bring people together with that kind of love, and we thank him for that. As you receive this morning and you do the sacrament and you remember Jesus, remember that he is love, that he is peace, not anger, that he is joy, not frustration, that he will carry you through all the injustices of life if you allow him to. And his father and his home were always a part of his heart wherever he was. Joseph must have missed them and thought about them and simply prayed about them. Never forgot. And loved them in his heart. But as he went, God brought him new people. People who saw who he was, saw his spirit, saw the man that he was, and it drew many to him. The guards, Pharaoh's guard, the Pharaoh, people who would have been an enemy of Joseph, became followers of a Hebrew boy because the Spirit of God was upon him. And we have what Joseph did not have. We have Jesus. Jesus shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, sits at the right hand of his Father, and we pray in his name, and they hear in heaven. He simply said, do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Give him praise, church. Lord, I pray they come back next week. I know I took a step in faith, a two-week sermon, Lord. But I just am so excited about next week, the beautiful love that is shared in that when the families are reunited again. Lord, we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, and we sing, God bless America.